Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Hi, how are you today, Marty?
Hello. I'm doing great. I decided to go, you know, yesterday I had my Sabres alumni t-shirt and I was blue and all of that. I decided to go goat head red and black
today.
So.
Attaboy. I was going to go, what's up? The video I was sharing earlier. What an unbelievable commercial, right? Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, just in a game, drinking a bud, whatever it was. At the
true,
time.
True.
It was like,
this was shared by a friend of mine on social. And then I went digging and just kept watching it over and over. And it's just like, oh boy.
Imagine like, are you familiar pandemic times and you're all on like, let's see, 4 years ago and you're all on Zoom and you're all going, what's that?
Imagine if every call with like 20 to 100 employees started that way.
because that went viral and that also was a cultural thing. Like everybody after that, comedians, movies, all had that line, that what's up line go in a way like it was. And then years later, if you did it, then you showed your age. You were old. Then it was like it was past. Like, don't go there.
Yeah.
It's kind of a loser thing to do if you go there.
Yeah. But then, like, you know, you were the inevitable unexpected rabbit holes you find yourself in life. And especially, like, obviously with TikTok too, right? Because, like, you get these just, I mean, people literally sit down for hours and just watch, you know, reels of these things, and something like this will come up. And it's just, I get so much joy watching, you know, actors in situations like this and just thinking of the filming process and like how many takes, and then like how authentic is the actual reaction from one to the other to the other. And I love it. So whatever makes you laugh, I think that's kind of the spirit of the day.
And it's again, it shows to you, and because we got a first look on social media yesterday at the new video board at the arena. See how I didn't call it a Jumbotron. Oh, you didn't go? Okay, well, I
told you, I'm trying not to look. I want to just be surprised on night one. Okay, I'm going to look away.
Well, the fan base, don't look at my camera right now. So, but anyway, that was on social media. But that commercial, the Budweiser commercial, was from 99 to 2002. We didn't have HD cameras. We didn't have the big, like, plasma LCD, whatnot. It was just on a rig, but it's about content, right? You can have the best TV. If you're watching the worst show, it's not going to look good. But at the same time, so I'm excited for the new video board, but I'm also excited for the game presentation people that we have, the great game presentation people that we work with, to be excited to bring some new things, to really push that limit and bring entertainment other than the actual hockey game to KeyBank Center. So to me, that's going to be fun.
I look forward to seeing Yaroslav Askarov replays.
You're clear. We're off. We pulled the
I know. I was staring at you the whole time. I was staring at you the whole time.
Like Derek Poopa's golf ball. Clear.
Yeah, clear. I have 1 degree of Askarov trivia for you.
Ooh, okay.
Since I'm obligated to mention Askarov every day because he, of course, catches with the proper hand. Franchise-changing trade for Mike Greer and the San Jose Sharks. Anyway, who was the goalie he was traded for?
Askarov?
Who was the goalie? In the deal last week.
I don't even know.
Magnus Crona is 24 today.
Oh, yes.
Happy birthday, Magnus. Now, try to put this into context in life. If you failed so badly in the process of maybe establishing the next step of your career, and then somehow it all works out. Magnus Crona's final NHL game of the 9 that he appeared in with San Jose last year, he lost 8-2. Oh, yeah, the Sharks were leading 2-1. Predators scored 8 times on 40 shots. That was on March 19th.
Yeah.
Nashville must have said, this guy's good.
Yeah.
And here he is. He's now a member of the Predator. Isn't it wild, though, how all this stuff? I don't know whether he's ever going to play in the NHL again. He probably will a time or two. Whatever. You know, he's 24. We'll see.
No disrespect to anybody that is playing professional hockey, because obviously you work hard, you get there, you're a talent in itself. Even if you're not in a top 64 goalies in the NHL, you're mm-hmm. then the next group in the, you're in the top 130, 140 goalies in the world, right? To play AHL, whatnot. But I almost feel like that was Mike Greer say, let's put this name at the on the list and we're going to send the fax and see if the Nashville Predators pay attention. And if they realize, because it was him. Basically,
Greer had him at first rounder. He could have thrown in 12 other names and Nashville exactly. would have said, sure. So yeah.
Exactly what I'm saying is that they threw a first rounder for Askarov. Nashville was like, who else? You need a contract, two contracts. We need to take off your hands. Let's do it. Which was awesome. Now, funny you mentioned the San Jose Sharks, because who will be a teammate of Askarov with the San Jose Sharks, who was a player on our team of the day last year? And I forgot about...
Last year?
Last year, yeah. I forgot about a waiver transaction that happened after the season that was basically, we think this player is going to get a buyout. And it was Mike Greer doing his buddy Chris Drury a huge favor by picking up this guy on waivers yeah. after the season.
Barclay
was
Goodrow.
Barclay Goodrow, yeah. As I totally Wait, forgot
what
about
team
that.
Of the day are you talking about? Today's team of the day?
Yeah, today's team of the day is
I thought you said
Rangers,
last
right?
year or something. And
no,
I was like,
today's
okay.
team of the day is the New York Rangers.
Sorry.
But I'm saying last year, this guy played for our team of the day and now will be a teammate of Askarov. But I forgot that that transaction happened this you know, a few months ago, is that everybody's talking about the Rangers, you know, they're going to need to make some moves and clear some cap space. Mm. And they put Barclay Goodrow on waivers.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the next day, the San Jose Sharks have picked up Barclay Goodrow on waivers. And you're thinking, what's happening here?
Yeah.
I felt like that was the step to buy him out or do something. But no, they just San Jose and Mike Greer doing Chris Drew a favor a few months back.
Yeah, Drury didn't do much with it. We'll get to the Rangers team of the day coming up. They are largely unchanged, so that's why I can push them off as far as humanly possible here, because it's like, whatever, President's Trophy, didn't win the cup, didn't change much. See you in a month. But Magnus Crona thing is interesting because he doesn't qualify. Even if he was like a legit prospect for Nashville, he wouldn't qualify because he's too old. As per the Athletics prospect pipeline, of which the Sabres, this is Corey Pronman's work, as per usual. It's kind of Corey Pronman's month, right? Like, this is the window of time that Corey dominates the NHL news articles.
Yes.
Because every day he's rolling out teams. So there's a recirculation of his work. There's a lot of cutting and pasting. There's a lot of taking his work and creating your own avenues to create content. I wasn't going to belabor this too much, but there seemed like a natural segue there. The Sabres obviously have had so his parameters for prospect pipeline is 22 and under. So obviously some of the Sabre prospects have graduated out of this, i.e. guys like Dahlin, etc. But his current list that, you know, has him positioning Buffalo 11th in, you know, prospect rankings. Yes, Owen Power at number one.
Yes.
And I think that's rather fitting based on how hard I've been pushing the Power narrative this offseason as, in my opinion, the one player on this roster that can absolutely change the fortunes, meaning if Owen Power gets talked about as a number one overall pick, meaning if he's having a massive year, like a number one overall pick, to me, that changes the fortunes of this team.
What would your criteria be when you would do, Duffer, you do a prospect ranking? What is the top criteria? Like that player's impact on your team next year, or what that player has shown prior and kind of seeing the whole thing? Because I don't
it's
know, like
question.
Corey's
I mean,
got
I,
a few, yeah, a few different parameters to make that. But I think you and I could have different ways to evaluate this, because I don't know that I would have Owen Power number one. I think Power is definitely a top two, top three on my list. But I think that Quinn and Peterka would have a bigger impact on next year's Sabres success than Power would. Is that crazy for me to think that?
Well, the other guys aren't even close to being first overall, so yes would be my immediate answer to that.
Yes,
but
I'm
I also
crazy.
Don't know whether he's defined in his player eligibility I think he's only looking at it from a career standpoint. I don't believe he's projecting it because, you know, for each team that Corey writes up, he has a long list of players at the back end of it that have a chance to play. That's not a chance to play this year. Half this list isn't going to play this year. It's more career projections, right? Like, what does this team have in the pipeline that can make it really good? And I think you have to start with a first overall pick in Owen Power. Here's the thing, put it this way. If Owen Power was sitting here at 8 on the list right now, then that would be a bit of an indictment in the mind of Corey and presumably all the other scouts and viewings that he's compiling for this list. That would suggest that Owen would have already fallen a long ways from grace in a short period of time. I think this is absolutely appropriate. He should be number one. He was a first overall pick. And yeah, they've got a whole bunch of other defensemen, not named Rasmus Dahlin. Owen Power has to be the second best, at least, defenseman on this team, in my opinion.
No, I think you're right. And I think if you put him in a top three, you say Dahlin, Power, Byram, and maybe you fit in Samuelsson with the role that he has to play, with such a different role. But that list is interesting to me because
Power's super interesting.
One, Quinn is two, Paterka is three, Konstantelainis is four.
How about play the game, though? Like, because I know you think Quinn's going to have more of an impact. Like, so just go in order. Power or Quinn, who has more impact? See? And then you go, Quinn Paterka, who has more impact?
I think Quinn.
Right? But isn't it fascinating?
That's why, because my number one would have been Jack Quinn, because I think that without Jack Quinn last year, we saw what happened to this team, who looked very much different. There's a lot of other factors that made the Sabres look that different last year. Tage Thompson, hand injury, Cousins having a really step back from
Skinner,
where he was.
Skinner, cold second half. Like, I mean.
Skinner, yeah. Tuck not feeling 100%. There was a lot there. But Quinn not being a regular at the start of the season with the Achilles injury and then another lower body injury later, to me, was a significant impact to the problems that the Sabres had. So I'm saying, okay, well, Power was there, right? And it moved the needle, but Quinn's absence moved the needle way far the other way. Paterka had a fantastic year. But I still think Quinn is the one that, to me, has the bigger impact next year. If he plays at a 30-goal pace and a 65, 70-point pace, like we're seeing this team, a much different team. So I'm putting Quinn ahead of Power and Paterka. But the list is interesting because we could do that. Like, right, basically go who's number one and then compare number two to number three and then kind of always slide them up. But Konstantelainis at four ahead of Zach Benson.
Skyrocket.
Okay, wait a second. Like, Zach Benson was a first-round pick last year. A year and a month ago, he was drafted by the Sabres. And he made the NHL and played a full season at 18. What has Konstantelainis done to put him fourth?
Because it's projection, baby.
Because
what do you have? What have you found? And obviously, without phrasing it this way, he's saying they might have cultivated a gem here in the draft that can have a longer-term massive impact greater than Benson, Kulik, Austin, Wahlberg, Kleber, Levi. Levi at 10 is an interesting talking point, right? Like,
well, the more I look at it, and this is long-term projection, right? Saying like Owen Power is going to be a stud, an all-star, and for 10 years, he'll be there. Quinn and Paterka are going to be
all-star game. Probably not all-star because it's hard as we keep it. I know, but we keep saying how hard it is.
It's the difference.
To be a first team or second. There's only four spots in the entire league.
I mean, that's so hard. It's like being a center in the league. There's two. Well, what's a center? Who knows? But anyway, it's like, what's a catch in the NFL? What's a center in the NHL? Who knows? But Owen Power is going to be a stud. Quinn Paterka are going to be top two line forwards that are going to score 30 goals potentially for a long time. So they're up there. Now, the reason why I believe Alanis would be ahead of Benson on that list is because Alanis has a much higher ceiling offensively, in my opinion, than Benson. Benson's a great, hardworking guy. Will have his 20 goals, maybe as 55 points at some point in the NHL. But I think Alanis has a little notch more that he brings with the skill and the fact that he's a center, a true center. That's probably where you see him at number four.
Center is the only reason at this point that I would have him where Corey has him.
If for Yuri Kulik to be number six, though, does that mean he's never going to score 30 goals in the NHL? Like, I mean,
well, he's got him listed as a center, and I don't think he'll play center in the NHL. I think he's going to be a winger. So, I mean, so that's just, but that doesn't mean he won't get a chance at center. Like, he has been pushed at center in the American Hockey League. So, yeah, I think the, like, so again, you keep going down the list with Östlund and Wahlberg. I was happy to see Wahlberg get a little, little extra love, because I do. I'm super excited about him. Kleber, obviously on the blue line from this year's draft class. Sturbeck from last year's draft class. Levi, you got Komarov coming in after his pretty successful run in the Quebec Major, Quebec Maritime Junior League. Pardon me.
Way to catch that when I still make the mistake. It's easier to do it in.
Why do we, like, again, less is more? Why can't we train ourselves to do that? Just say the Q. You don't have to get into the
QMJHL. You don't have to worry about major or maritime. And that's the thing. In French, it's even worse because maritime comes in front of Quebec because it's LHJMQ. So maritimes comes in front of Quebec. And it's hard to say junior maritimes Quebec. Anyway, that's the way it is.
But the guy who fell off of, and I don't even know if Corey did like a top 12 for everybody or if it's just, you know, an inexact number for each team. But the guy that fell out of that picture was Roseanne. Now, so he is listed in another longer list of has a chance to play.
Which is a kick in the you know what if you're Zach Roseanne and you're labeled as a chance to play.
Yeah, but I don't have the time or the energy to go back into every single exercise Corey has ever done to see
the amount of
whether chance to play guys have actually played more than the guys on his top 10 list or, you know, so whatever. I mean, it is,
just to take the Bills, for example, they got their 53 man roster done yesterday. John Dreesen, local boy. Congratulations. He's on the 53. He was probably as a chance to play, who knows, maybe as a chance to play and made it right. Like there's always those guys. Isaac Roseanne has a ton of talent, has a chance to play. Who knows? In 5 years from now, maybe he's, you know, ahead of Allen and Wahlberg and maybe even Alenius. Who knows? That's not what we're doing now, but he could potentially get there, which leads me back to Monday. We had our Sabres alumni golf tournament, Duffer, and one of the guys I was playing with had a fantastic, hard question. He goes, I'm worried that we have too many prospects, that there's not going to be enough room for all of them to develop and grow. But who do you keep? Who do you trade? How do you make that decision right now? They're 19, 20 years old, 21. Like and I think that list is a perfect example. Elenius, Kulik, Östlund, Wahlberg, Roseanne, right? And those are all forwards. Nurchev, they're all forwards that at some point are gonna, you know, the pyramid, like it's the way is gonna narrow down and not everybody's gonna be able to fit through.
But we knew this. We've talked about it a lot.
It's a hard answer to
it. It's not that hard. You know why? Because you answered it unknowingly, clearly, and succinctly when you talked about the Blues and the Oilers and the offer sheets. It's all right. Everybody moves on.
Yeah.
Don't you remember what you said? Replaceable.
Replaceable.
Everybody's replaceable. And that's what's going to happen here. And you know who's going to make it easy for the GM? The players in question. That's what it always comes down to. Show me you're better than the guy that you're trying to take the job from. It's a pretty perfect time if you're trying to make your way in the Sabres organization. Yes, there are some players who have long-term contracts up front. There are also a lot of spots coming open here in the next couple of years. And so
but there's not many spots. There is not six of them. There's not seven of them. I don't think so. I think you may have
a Tuck doesn't have a gazillion years left.
Tuck will be here.
Zucker's here on 1 year. Greenway's on potentially last year here.
I think you have Thompson, Tuck, Quinn, Paterka, Cousins. That
none of the bottom six guys they brought in are on long term. Like, Benson, I'm sorry. I see this as an oasis for these prospects. So
I see six guys that are here long term, right? I'm saying, excuse me, I'm saying Thompson, Tuck, Quinn, Paterka, Cousins, Benson. They're here for a longer time period, in my opinion. And then you're going to filter in some of the prospects with other guys, right? Like McLeod. Mm-hmm. Okay, he comes in. Is he here for 5-6 years, or is it just a couple of years and then we move on? There's that debate. But the interesting thing, and one of the toughest part of being a general manager, is knowing when to move off of somebody. And people have probably called on Yuri Kulik for the last year and a half. Hey, what do you think? Would you be willing to move off of Kulik? And the answer has probably been no. At some point, the answer may become a yes, depending on what else is happening and how Kulik is playing and what opportunities you have in front of you. Is when do you make that change, or when do you say, hey, we have to make a room for Kulik. He's the guy now. We have to go up. That's the challenge, to be able to balance that. And I
talk to Barry Trotz.
Well, yeah.
Just moved his top prospect.
Yes.
Literally one of the kids they got in, Edstrom, in the deal, Corey Pronman now has the Predators' top prospect.
Yeah.
So, like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, just make the hard decisions, and that's what you have to do. And again, the players are going to help get you there, either by what they do on the ice, how they act off the ice, what their demands are, what their own expectations are. And look, the Leafs are dealing with Robertson, right?
Yeah.
Kid showed in limited ice time last year he can score. A lot of people are going to take the other side of the equation and say, eh, he hasn't shown enough that he can play a full two-way game. I would put my chips in on Nick Robertson. I would. And I would do it 100% more because it's a division rival, and I would like to see a guy thrive against a division rival. And it doesn't matter which division rival. It could be Boston, Toronto, Montreal. I don't care. But I think this kid will ultimately prove some people wrong. And
it's interesting to see you would put your chips in, but at what value? And I believe now
that I don't care because I have the list that Corey just showed us. And at some point you have to be unmarried to every single one of them. And you have to be willing to make a bold move if you believe that Nick Robertson showed in his NHL time. And this is not meant to be an exercise.
But the way the cap is going right now, the cap is going to continue to grow, but you know where that money is going. That money is going to the top guys. So Toronto is saying, Matthews, Nylander, Tavares is coming off the book. Are we going to re-sign Marner? That's where they're spending their money. So the Nick Robertson of this group of Sabres prospect that we have, yes, you have an agent, you have your group of financial advisors around you, and they're going to say, hey, you're worth $1.5 million, $2 million, $2.5 million, $3 million. You're worth, but a lot of those guys are going to have to say, I'm going to take $1.2 million instead of $2 million just so I can play in the NHL. And hopefully I'm a $10 million guy next time it comes around, because that's the top guys are going to make their money. And those Nick Robertson or Yuri Kulik or Isaac Rosen or, you know, Zach Benson or whatnot may have to fight for the robbery contracts at the end of the summer and say, we have $1.2 million left. We have $1.4 million left. That's really the way and the shape of what the salary structures are going to be even more with teams.
Yeah. And I'm not to, I didn't intend to incite a reaction or a suggestion that Nick Robertson is better than any of those top prospects we mentioned on the list. But these are realities that any and all GMs have to deal with. And again, if you're focusing on the now and the urgency of an upcoming season, and if you felt like Nick Robertson could push the needle towards the playoffs a little more than some of these guys who don't have NHL experience, then you have to trust your own evaluation and your own projections, of which it's not just one person. We know the size of the hockey department and the input, and where their contracts expect to land down the road. So
you're not saying Nick Robertson is better than the guys on the Sabres list. But the difference there is Nick Robertson played 56 games last year and was almost a half a point a game. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guys on that list, the Kulik and Roseanne and Helenius, they don't have any NHL games or very little to talk to. So is Robertson better suited for the NHL right now? Maybe. But that's why he wants money, because he says, I'm a half a point a game in 56 games last year. I want more than $813,000 that was my qualifying offer.
Yeah, it's see, all it took was one trade, Askarov, and
it's always the goalie's fault.
It's right catching goalies. Let's go back to Pupa and Barrasso. Yeah. They're the ringleaders of it all.
There was way more of those back in the days, I feel.
There were fewer goalies, so there might have been a higher percentage. I don't know, but so.
Yeah. There's not a lot of them around the National Hockey League right now. So
anyway, speaking of contract disputes, Nick Robertson and the Leafs.
Yeah.
Have you found yourself in any contentious negotiations with our event planners, i.e. like Dunk Tank, FanFest? Yes, no, maybe.
You know my love affair of the Outlook email service, that I have another app on my phone because I can't have it on my regular mail app. So I have not checked my emails in a week when it comes to the work email. So maybe I have a list of things that are coming up. But no, I've not negotiated any FanFest activation locations or whatever like last year.
Yeah. I'm suggesting that you should play goal as part of Hockey Fest, and you have to catch with your right hand.
I am an excellent right catching.
See, there you go.
Yeah, I can catch.
You didn't even flinch. Yeah. You're like, sign me up. And I would do that too. Anything but the dunk tank again. Thank you.
That was cold.
I have a game used wetsuit, one and done. It's been cleaned. Put it on eBay. We'll slap a goat head logo on it.
Although, I do have, if we have to do the dunk tank, I do have one of those heating elements that you plug in and then you put in the water and it heats really quickly. Mm. I'm getting a couple of those for that, if that's the case.
You know what else I have along those lines? An entire box of hand warming heating pads from you from a recent Christmas gift exchange.
They won't work in the water though.
No? Underneath the wetsuit? I think they would.
I think once they get wet, that's going to be
bad. I think they would. Remember what I said? It's not my hands that are the problem. Yeah. And you immediately snarkily went, you could put them anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Feet, cheeks, neck, whatever.
I'm like, okay, Marty has spoken. I need to. Yeah. So I'm cold. FanFest will be hot. It's presented by Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. Fun games, skills challenges, player appearances, autographs. It all runs in conjunction with the aforementioned Hockey Fest, which is the street hockey tournament on RJ Way, Alumni Plaza. It all happens Saturday, September 14th. Of course, it's right smack in the middle of the Prospects Challenge, which we'll dive into a little bit more later on in the show. Rangers are the team of the day. That is next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Better submit this one to the Emmy crew. 33 minutes in and I've managed to avoid Team of the Day so far. I'm incredibly proud of my efforts.
Like you said, though, at the start of the show, Team of the Day is the New York Rangers. Team of the Day was first overall President's Trophy winning team. Team of the Day did not really add many significant players, did not lose many significant players. They are the same team. So roll the tape from what we talked about, the New York Rangers in the summer of 2023, and it's basically the same thing moving in with Peter Laviolette as the head coach, Michael Pekka as an assistant coach, Phil Housley. Like, talk to Pekka at the alumni tournament, and they're dialed in over there.
Housley wasn't there.
No, Housley did not make an appearance, unfortunately.
So they win the President's Trophy. In the last 3 years, they've had 114, 107, and 110 points. They've had seven rounds of playoff action over the last 3 years, but they have not scaled the mountain.
Nope.
Second year, Peter Laviolette coming up. The core is clearly a year older and still very, very, very good. But let's get inside the numbers with the New York Rangers.
Okay, what do you got? Because I got some too.
Well, this was a valid talking point through the course of their President's Trophy winning season.
Yeah.
And the number never really changed in the playoffs either. They were a very, very, very average 5-on-5 team.
Yes. Great.
Special teams yes. were awesome for them in regular season and in playoffs. They had 8 shorties in the regular season, which was, and then they had 6 more in the postseason. And you're like, holy cow, not only is their power play dynamite, their penalty kill kicks your butt as well, but they're just meh at 5-on-5. Now their shooting percentage was almost shockingly low at 5-on-5, despite the weapons that they have.
Yes.
But is it some form of truth in there that they are, in fact, what they are at 5-on-5? And by not making significant changes here, could this be a concern again for this New York Rangers team?
So I went back to the way the Sabres played 3 games against the Rangers last year. They went 1-1-1. And the first game of the season, interesting is, well,
oh, that was not a good one for Buffalo.
We had a tough time against the 1-3-1. The Rangers, we haven't seen the 1-3-1. The Rangers play a 1-3-1. I feel like 5-on-5, the Rangers last year, and this is going to be their identity this year as well. They just want to be even. They don't want to go out and beat teams 5-on-5. They just want to do a 1-3-1, slow things down, and then who knows, maybe a team takes a lot of chances and their skill set is going to capitalize on turnovers and transition. Or the power play is going to take over. You got Panarin, you got Zibanejad, you got Kreider, you got Lafreniere, you got Fox. Who else do they have? Trocheck that could play. Riley Smith now that can play.
Their playoff MVP in Trocheck, by the way.
Yeah.
He had 20 points, and he was by far their best player.
Yeah, okay. Regular season, Artemi Panarin, 120 points and 49 goals. The second scorer, point getter on the New York Rangers was Trocheck last year, was 43 points less than Panarin. But he was steady and consistent and was really good in the playoffs. But again, the Rangers played that style. They know they have, if not the best goalie in the league, one of the top 3 or 4 in Igor Shesterkin, who needed help from Jonathan Quick last year, which Jonathan Quick helped the Rangers stay at the top early, and then as the All-Star break came along, Shesterkin was better, and then he took off after that, and he was excellent in the playoffs, too.
Mm-hmm. He was.
Here's a number for you.
What?
12, 10 and a half, 11, 11 and a half, 8, 7. Like, that's Shesterkin. What's his next deal going to be like?
Oh,
12 million, 7 years, 8 years, is 10 and a half. Like, Carey Price is at 10 and a half million. He's not playing anymore. It's the highest AAV in the league. Sorry. Bobrovsky is at 10. I know. Carey Price is also like a MVP. Vezina.
When did he last play? Holy cow.
Carey Price last played. I had him pulled up earlier.
Anyway. Sorry to sidebar.
Well, no, I'll tell you. Carey Price last played in 2021-2022, where he played 5 games with the Canadiens. The COVID year, that was 2021, where they were in the Canadian division, he played 25 years that year.
Cup final.
And they went to the Stanley Cup final against Tampa, and then that was basically it for Carey Price. After that, that was done. But Shesterkin's numbers are, it's about the contract now. It's a guy that's making $5.6 million the last few years, way underpaid, and now is looking to really cash in at about probably $11 to $12 million.
Oh, good for the Rangers. I hope they waste even more cap space.
Well, they, they
don't need to go that high. I mean, I know he's going to try to leverage that, but they don't need to go that high. But
no, you're right. They don't need to, but it may cost them that. Now, if they go that high, and maybe they lose Kaapo Kakko, right? He's got another year at 2.4. Riley Smith's on a 1-year deal. They're going to have to sign Alexis Lafreniere, but, you know, maybe they trade him. Maybe they say we have to make room for...
No, they're not trading him. He is a big piece of their
future.
He should
have been traded a year ago. Teams should
have... No, he should have been offer sheeted a year ago.
Well, teams should have made a push for an offer sheet or a trade for Lafreniere a year ago. But, yeah, you're right. Like, so they have some options, but the key numbers for me is always going to be when it comes to their goaltender and Igor Shesterkin. But other than that, they do have a ton of high-end talent.
Yeah, they really do.
That's why it's scary for the New York Rangers.
They'll be fine. I mean, are you at all concerned, because we tend to focus on this with Pittsburgh, are you concerned about the age of the Rangers core? Or are you like, would you be like another year or two before you get thinking about that?
Another year or two, just because I feel like Chris Kreider can still play. He's 33 awesome. Years old.
Yeah.
He phenomenal. Can still skate. He's phenomenal. But when he gets to be 35 in the last year of his deal, and if he wants to remain with the Rangers, then it's a concern. If the Rangers decide, hey, we're going to re-sign Chris Kreider because he's been a Rangers and such a force for us. You know, Panarin, in 2 years, what did he do with Panarin? He's going to be 34 and going to be UFA. Mm-hmm. He's performing like he should be, getting another $11, $12 million.
Yep.
So that's a hard contract to give out at 34, Artemi Panarin, 35, Artemi Panarin, 36.
Or not, if he doesn't show any signs of slowing down.
Well, Zibanejad slowed down this year, right? Mika Zibanejad this year.
Maybe.
He went to 72 points. Last 2 years were 81 and 91.
Right, but Tage Thompson, Jason Robertson, and a bunch of others also had a little dip this year from the overall points. And
the difference is that Zibanejad's 31. Is that the precursor to him being on the other side of 30 compared to
No, that's why I lumped in the young guys in that argument, because I felt like the game had a little bit of a change this year for whatever. And that's just my brain, not...
Yeah,
I'm not basing it on, you know, because we all know that kind of goal scoring has been where it's been, and it's technically, you know, still been kind of creeping up. But anyway, the Ranger hallmarks, and there are many, tied for second in the league when scoring first. They won 35 times. They were tied for third when not scoring first. They had 20 wins. But here's one that makes it relatable to the Sabres. And you have heard Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams talk about it. It's important. And I believe the Sabres found out the hard way on the back end of this the last time they played the Rangers in New York this year, because the Rangers had played the night before. The Rangers were 11-1 in the second of back-to-back games.
Yeah.
By far the best in the NHL. So whether you want to speak about age, experience, whatever that leads you to that, or goaltending,
yep.
Buffalo was 3-9. And that's why Kevin Adams talked about it, and why Don Granato talked about it, and now Lindy Ruff is talking about it. That is a massive statistical concern. It's the fact of the matter. You have to play back-to-back nights in the NHL. You can't have these results so consistently, right? So I think it's a real strength that the Rangers have been impressed with things like that.
That's a Lindy Ruff thing that always came about when I played for Lindy. We are going to be the best conditioned team in the NHL. And I used to laugh at it. Doesn't you win your game if you can skate around like without breathing heavy for 60 minutes? But over 82 games, over 15 sets, or we used to play 21, 22 sets of back-to-backs.
Right.
Like now it's not as many, but over that stretch of teams, Peter Laviolette is the same thing. Their training camp is hard. John Tortorella training camp is hard. There's a lot of those coaches. Paul Maurice training camp is hard. Why? Because it's setting the tone so that you can be, you know, handling these back-to-back situations. Goaltending is huge. Jonathan Quick was big. They may have lost the first game with Shesterkin earlier in the season and won game two. Why? Because Jonathan Quick was that good. Well, now Luukkonen, who's your next guy? Is it Reimer or Levi that's giving you that boost on the second of back-to-back? And you mentioned the last time those two teams played this year, it was December 23rd. It was right before the Christmas break. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what was so significant about our time at MSG? Because we were on the road for that game.
Well, we were coming off of the Stifler's Mom show, and I think, if I'm correct, is Stifler's Mom celebrating a birthday today? So we've mastered that part of the equation. I can tell you
it was probably our first broadcast where we both wore overcoats because it was so
cold. Yeah, dude, I was
cold.
Getting there. I was trying to get to, but I'm so cold now, it took a while to spit the whole thing out. But yeah, like I was longing for the days when the lights caught on fire above our camera. When I think Brad and I were working, it was a brief smoldering. It wasn't a big blaze.
Yes.
But yeah, it was.
Hey, Jennifer Coolidge is like 63 today. So yeah,
I know.
That's a good pull right there.
Thank you. Well, producer Jeff lays out an awful lot for us before we hit the air. It's just sometimes we don't always connect the dots. So I'm happy to be able to have done so there. Yeah, it was a doubleheader at MSG that day. Basketball had just ended. Therefore, they turned the thermostat down significantly to get the NBA heat out of the arena. And holy cow, did we suffer.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been. I tried to kind of muscle way through, like pre-game, right? Like, I'm not going to wear the jacket. And then we watched the first period and I had the jacket on and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not taking that off. And you're looking at me like, I've been waiting for you to say that for now an hour, like, you know,
if not 5 years.
Yeah, we were literally four layers on with this cold air conditioning. I was blasting right at the top of our heads in that little booth in MSG. But we're what a nothing night, if though. Not admittedly. Night.
What's that?
The Sabres lost in overtime, but it was a good game.
It was a good game. Yeah.
Mittelstadt got that goal when he got a freebie at the end there. He almost fumbled it into the net to beat Shesterkin, and then a little miscue in OT. Quinn loses his stick, comes back, overplays with Thompson, the puck carrier, and they left Kreider in the crease. But I felt like...
So what does Buffalo do against the Rangers this year?
Okay, against the Rangers this year, well, I mean, I was going to go. They played three times, and all three games, actually, no, they play November, December, and February, so it's spread out throughout the season. I was going to go 1-1-1. And then I decided, you know what? The Rangers are going to be good again this year. I'm going 1-2 against the Rangers for the Sabres this year. Last year, they went 1-1-1, and it took the second game especially was UPL, like, out of his mind. Like, he played so well against the Rangers. That was the Jimmy Vesey saves, the stick save against the Rangers at MSG. So I'm going to say 1-2, which now puts the Sabres +6. For the season after 49 games and 55 points.
Sabres' first home game this year is October 10th. We want to see you at KeyBank Center. If you like a mini pack, we encourage you to go to sabres.com/mini packs because that is where you'll find out more about the opportunity to do five games or more with great savings, ultimate flexibility, matchups and opponents you want. sabres.com/mini packs. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
With more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Okay, I saved the best to last. Congratulations to John Tavares, the great Dane Smith, Steve Priolo, Lyle Thompson, Cody Jamieson, and more. The Six Nations Chiefs won the major series lacrosse last night. After an unbeaten regular season, they lost the first two games of the final to Peterborough, but then roared back with four straight and now advanced to the Man Cup again. They are looking for a second straight Man Cup title for lacrosse supremacy at the senior level in Canada. That tournament will open September the 6th at the Lacrosse Arena in Six Nations. So, incredible star power there. Incredible star power among the birthday rankings. We mentioned Stifler's mom earlier in Jennifer Coolidge. Also on the list today, Jack Black's 55, Shania Twain's 59, Jason Priestley is 55, but do they rival in any way? Sneaky Pete, number 77. Turgeon is not 77 years old.
No, Pierre Turgeon, which made an appearance at our Sabres Alumni Golf Tournament last season before going to the Hockey Hall of Fame. What an incredible achievement. And Sneaky Pete, just a fantastic human being, a competitor, still wants to win every alumni hockey game he plays into. And I'm probably going to see him in November when I play into that Hockey Hall of Fame game. And he was great here in Buffalo. He was great in Montreal. He was great wherever he went.
He's 55. Happy birthday. Now, what is your favorite Keanu Reeves role? He signed a one-day contract with the Windsor Spitfires.
So we all know Keanu Reeves played hockey. He was a goalie, right? So that is why Canadian. I would say that my favorite role of Keanu Reeves is Heaver in Youngblood. He was the goalie in Youngblood. And there's a line where he's with the Bullitt family, which is awesome. I'm not going to repeat it. But then I went back to his IMDb page, and he did a lot of great Neo in The Matrix, Johnny Wick, John Wick, Ted Logan in Bill and Ted's Adventure, Johnny Utah in Point Break, and Jack Traver, and Speed. Those are the best.
Incredible human being. We're back tomorrow on Sabres Live. See you then.